We've been in a series called Sacred Rhythms of the People. I love whoever came up with that title. So when we say Sacred Rhythms of the People, we're saying, why do we do the things that we do when we gather at our expression? Each thing we do is meant to form us into the people of Jesus, not just individuals, but also as a community. We've covered topics of communion, hospitality, giving, scripture. We're going to talk about singing and baptism. But today we're going to talk about prayer. We all kind of have a concept of prayer. Whether we are followers of Jesus or not, we know this is part of the vernacular of the culture or of the world, right? When someone is sick or having a hard time, they share with us and we'll respond with, I'll keep you in my prayers. Others, like news organizations or community leaders, when something tragic happens in the community, they say, our thoughts and prayers are with family. Prayer is just something we throw out there because everybody kind of has an idea or a concept of what that is. Whether it's right or wrong, we don't know. But everyone just kind of says a prayer. Prayer is very familiar to us. And sometimes it's so familiar that we don't even think about what we are praying. We don't even think about why we are praying, how we are praying. It comes mindlessly. It comes sometimes with very rote ways of doing it. But prayer isn't meant to be something that we just do. Something that we do before we eat, something that we do before we go to bed, or something that we do when we jump in a car and go on a road trip. I remember my mom always, like when we were out to do a road trip, she's like, wait. My dad would put the car in reverse and she's like, no, we gotta pray. We gotta make sure that God protects us on the way. And so we would stop and pray. Those are all good things. Yet, if they become rote, if they become mindless and unintentional, then we're losing something, aren't we? Prayer is foundational to growing and building our relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. It's foundational in forming and shaping us in the people of God. Pastor and author Joshua Koopman King says this about foundations. He says, the Chinese word for laying foundation means taking care of, checking out the roots. To pray is to send one's roots deeply to Jesus, the source of living water. Prayer spirituality is the spirituality of growing down. Only when the tree sends its roots deeply down into the ground can the branches grow up outward and bear abundant fruit. Our souls grow and bear the fruits of the Spirit by the living water that we absorb from the roots through prayer. True prayer is an encounter between heaven and earth. True prayer is an encounter between heaven and earth. Prayer is foundational. Where it is in the Bible that talks about prayer, right? A good pastor always brings in scripture. So where do we find prayer in the Bible? Prayer is everywhere. Over 400 times, depending on the translation you use, over 400 times prayer or pray is mentioned. In the ESV translation, the one that we use most up here at Missio, it's used 32 times, or 322 times.
Don't ask me why 322 and not 400. The ESV might not be as holy as we think it is. But at least 322 times it says pray or prayer. So where do we find prayer? What passages are we going to use? You go to the Bible, where do you look? Who do you look to? The answer is Jesus, right? So let's look at Jesus. Here are just some. How many times does Jesus pray in the gospel? Over 38 times. If you're reading the ESV, just 32. Okay, so it just is like packed full of prayer. I'm going to read them because you can't read those from here. At his baptism, in the morning before he goes to Galilee, after he heals people, praying all night before choosing the 12 disciples, before he walks on water, while he's healing the deaf and the mute man, thanking God before he feeds 4,000 people, before Peter called him the Christ. It goes on and on. Over and over, we see Jesus consistently praying, communicating with a God and being empowered by Holy Spirit. This is the example that Jesus has in the New Testament. The Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, account over and over this rhythm that Jesus has of prayer. If you look closely, you see this consistent rhythm that we've talked about at Missio a lot. And this is the rhythm of Jesus' prayer when he goes and spends time up with the Father. So here's just three of the accounts. In Mark 1:35, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed." In Luke 5:16, "But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray." In Luke 6:12, "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." I'm going to quote Joshua King again, and he says this: "We have to pray because God prays. Our God is the God of prayer. Our God listens to our prayers." Let me read it again. "We have to pray because God prays. Our God is the God of prayer. Our Father God listens to our prayers." The greatest honor for a Christian is to have fellowship with the triune God. To pray means to fall in love with God. To pray means to enjoy the privilege of conversation with the triune God. To pray means to desire the triune God and enjoy fellowship with him. It is to thirst for God. To pray means to be with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To pray means to be in relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To pray means to be just engaged intentionally with the triune God. So what does that mean for us as we come in on a Sunday morning and we gather as believers? What does the sacred rhythm of prayer do for us when we gather? When we enter into expression on Sunday mornings, we create a space of prayer. Sometimes it may feel unimportant. Sometimes it may seem like just things that we do from week in and week out. It might feel routine or ritualistic. But in our expression, we don't just pray by accident, friends. Prayer is not just a tool for transition so that I can get up here while Tim gets down, or when we go from communion to the next thing. It's not a transition. It's not a tool that we use. Prayer in our worship expression is intentional. What prayer does is it slows us down to contemplate, to be contemplative, to think deeply, to wonder. Prayer calls us out of distraction when our minds kind of go from here to there, when we hear a car alarm going off from John Chang's car, and we got to go, oh, it's time to pray. Yeah, that was John last week when that thing went off. Yeah. So pray and come back. Prayer calls us back. It unifies us as a body of believers. Prayer is intentional on Sunday mornings when we gather as a people. Have you ever really thought and listened and take time to think about what we are doing during these times? During our music worship, when we stop to pray, it reminds us of the truth that we are singing. It stops us while we stop and give adoration to the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It draws our attention to the one that we are supposed to be worshiping. That's why we stop and pray during the music time. Before we invite people to the communion tables, we ask them to stop and spend time in prayer and reflection individually. But we also pray the prayer of confession. As a community, we confess our sins. We acknowledge that we are in need of Christ's body broken for us and his blood shed for us. When we finish the expression, we usually close with a closing blessing. This isn't just a sermon summary or cliff notes for what the person has preached. What we stop to do when we pray a closing blessing is it reminds us that as a community, we want to proclaim the truths that were spoken and heard that day. We proclaim to Father, Son, and Spirit, and we say, let it be. Let it be so. That's actually what we're saying when we say amen. It means, yeah, let it be so. So that's why, as a community, one of our sacred rhythms is prayer. And you see that it is throughout our expression. It's immersed into what we do. It shapes and guides our community as we gather, nurturing our souls in deep relationship with God. Now, sometimes when I say soul, people get really confused, especially since the ministry I run is called Soul Roots. They're like, what are you talking about the soul? So let me switch gears and kind of take you to this place of what is our souls doing? What are our souls doing when we pray? One of the explanations that I've heard recently that I love out of a book by Cindy S. Lee, who is a professor, a spiritual director, and the author of Our Unforming. She says this: I find it helpful to think of the soul not as being an object, but a space. The soul is the space where your sacred self dwells. This means your soul is also the space of prayer, where your most honest sacred self meets with God. Rather than thinking of prayer as an activity or practice, I like to think of it as sharing space with God. Sometimes in prayer, we have conversations with the Spirit, and on the days when we're not sure what to say, we may simply sit in silence together. In that space, God sees us clearly. And on the good days, we see God clearly too. The soul space is a space where we can be our sacred selves. Sacred, yes, sacred, because God is the one who has created you. You are made in the image of God, and so that makes you sacred. So your sacred self, your true self, sometimes we say, the person that God thought of when he was dreaming you and creating you in your mother's womb, that is the sacred self. The soul space of prayer is where we share space with Father, Son, and Spirit. It's where we have conversations with God. It's where God sees us, and where we can see God, and where we can listen and hear God. Pastor, theologian, civil rights leader Howard Thurman says it this way: in the stillness of quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart, giving strength to weakness, courage to fear, hope to despair. In the stillness of the quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart. The whisper of the heart meaning the whisper of God, the heart of God, giving us strength to the weakness, courage to fear, hope to despair. Jesus has this rhythm, pulling away into silence, pulling away into the quiet, away into the garden to tend to his soul. I sit and I contemplate on the life of Jesus and how many times he pulls away to be alone and this rhythm. He is sharing space with God. He is intentional in his day, in his evenings. It's not just physical space. It's that soul space. And when the world gets to be too much, and as everything is overwhelming, he doubles down and prays some more. Remember the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he goes to the cross. I'm gonna read the first section of that from Matthew 26, 36 through 39. It says this: then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as you will." Jesus, in his most stressful time, says, "My soul is grieved and distressed." Jesus pulls away to pray. He invites his closest friends into that space with him. And throughout the night, Jesus is in this soul space with God, wrestling and crying, feeling it physically. Have you ever noticed that it said Jesus took a few steps and fell? Fell out of exhaustion, fell out of the pain and grief and agony he was feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, all the most intense feelings that a human can feel just like us. Friends, when we are going through it, when our souls are grieved, when our souls are distressed, when we are carrying the heaviness, we need to be praying. We need to be in the space with Jesus. Some of us may need to invite friends into that space to hold us up, to pray with us, even if they fall asleep in the middle of the night. This past Monday, I woke up from a horrible night of sleep. I woke up and I felt all these knots from like my neck into my shoulders, down my back. Even my legs were tired. Even my legs felt like they were cramping. My mind felt fuzzy. I'm exhausted. My soul is heavy. The last 2 or 3 weeks for me, as I sit and I am flooded with the media, the news, my social media, calls from friends that are like going through it, I realize that my soul was heavy, that I was taking all these things in, yet I was not taking it to God. I was taking all these things in and just complaining and grumbling and crying and frustrated and swearing. I swear a lot, guys, and I think I've doubled my swearing in the last month. So I'm feeling it. I was not my sacred self. I was not the person that God had designed me to be. So Monday, I'm texting some of my friends. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what's up. And one of them responded and said, maybe you need to take a mental health day. I was like, I need to take a spiritual day. I need to take a Sabbath. I need to take time with Jesus. So my schedule was pretty clear, so I have the luxury of actually clearing my schedule because I'm my boss. So I cleared it, and I went and I spent time with God. I went and actually got a massage. I went and I took a walk, ate some good food, and I spent time in prayer in my soul space with God. Did it solve everything? No. But it was the place I needed to tend to what was going on so that God could see me and I could see God. So God could hear me and I could hear God. Some of you need this type of space. All of us need this type of space. You need time to slow down and be intentional, to express what you are feeling to Father, Son, Spirit, Creator, Lord, whatever title you have given our God. To be attentive to what's happening physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all of the things. Many of us haven't slowed down, because we are on that train that just goes and goes and goes. And we just keep buying into it. And say, we just got to keep going. We just got to keep going. We got to do something. Friends, do you want to hear that whisper? Do you want to be reassured and comforted? Do you want to hear God tell you that you're okay, that He is with you and has not forgotten you? Do you want to hear and feel the presence of God the one who created you and is chasing after you here and now still. I want to take a moment and guide you into this type of soul space, a place of prayer. And if you would just allow me to lead you for a moment, it can be stretching for some of you. But if you would just believe it for a moment, engage it, and trust me for a few minutes as I guide you through this. This is a practice called embodied prayer. And so I take some of my directees through this. I lead retreats and I'll take people through this. And so I wanna guide you through this morning if you would let me. If you are able to, would you stand to your feet? If you're not able to stand, then just stay where you're at and just be comfortable in your seated position. Would you feel, put your feet in a position like kind of shoulder width apart? Would you feel the weight of those feet touching the ground, touching the earth? Imagine the ground beneath you as the firm foundation of God's love. It might help you to close your eyes to do this, to imagine deeper. Let the ground be beneath you as the firm foundation of God's love. You are held. You are seen. And you are known. Take a deep breath in, and then slowly exhale it. And then keep doing that. A deep breath in, and a slow breath out. Breathe in the presence of God. Breathe out anything that is heavy within you. Taking those breaths deep in and slowly out. Now gently bring awareness to what your body is carrying today. Notice the tensions, whether it's in your shoulders, your back, your head. Where do you feel the tension? Where do you feel the anxiousness? Perhaps you're feeling it deeper in your heart, in your stomach. Maybe it's your mind racing. There's no need to fix anything, just notice. As you inhale, imagine God's peace filling these places. As you exhale, release what is weighing you down. Let your shoulders relax. Hang your arms gently to your side, or if you're sitting, place them on your lap. Now to make two tight fists, squeeze them. Hold on to all the burdens. And now release them and let them go. Keep your hands open, palms up, a posture of surrender and trust. Now, whatever uncomfortable feelings are arising right now, either the doubt of this practice, your insecurity, your worry, or even the silence of the room, offer them up to God. God, receive those things with grace. Be still. Let your soul rest in the quiet. There's no need to strive, no need to explain, no need to solve. Trust that God sees you, He hears you, He loves you, without any need of you saying a word. A deep breath in, exhale it out. As you stay in this position, I'm going to ask the band to come forward. Breathing, deep breaths in and deep breaths out. As you stay in this posture, would you remember this? Sometimes in prayer we have conversations with the Spirit. And on the days when we're not sure what to say, we may simply stay in silence together. In that space, God sees us clearly. And on the good days, we see God clearly too. In the stillness of quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart giving strength to weakness, courage to fear, hope to despair. In the stillness of the quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart giving strength to weakness, courage to fear, hope to despair.